This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. As the weather gets warmer and gyms remain closed, many of you are eager to get outside and move, and you've been asking us questions about how to do that safely. Dr. Ben Levine is a professor of internal medicine at UT Southwestern and Texas Health Presbyterian Dallas. He's an expert in sports medicine, and he's here to answer your questions about exercising outdoors during this pandemic. Thanks for joining us once again.
My pleasure, Ari. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so big picture, a lot of people are itching to get outside and get moving, and they want to do it safely. What's your general advice to them?
Well, first of all, I think it's a great idea to get outdoors. There's sun, there's wind, there's fewer people, so making efforts to do it safely is important. And if you don't remember anything else about this conversation, remember the four Ds. That is, double your distance and don't draft.
Okay. Double it from what? Let me just ask. Double your distance from...
So typically we talk about social distancing as being 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And during exercise, though, that's probably not enough. And you need to stay at least 12 feet away from somebody else who's exercising. That distance actually changes the faster the people that you're around are going. So runners... Okay. And cyclists need to stay even farther apart. But if you're on a treadmill, or if you're walking briskly with somebody, or next door to somebody on a piece of exercise equipment, then 12 feet is the right distance.
And then don't draft, meaning you don't want to be right behind them in their draft.
Their slipstream, exactly.
Their slipstream,
right.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, that's a bad idea, because then you're basically running into their secretions and their breath, which is not ideal.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of confusion about what kinds of precautions people should take while they're running. Sarah in Burlington, Vermont has what I think is a very common question.
I'm wondering if I need to wear a mask while running. I have been, but I can hardly breathe, and I've noticed a lot of other people aren't wearing them. But I've also seen an article going around about the virus being left in your stream as you run. And I've heard that study was not very well done and that a slipstream will carry it around you. So I'm finding it confusing. Is it okay to go without if you can stay 6 feet away? Or can you pull it off in stretches where there's no people without hurting anyone?
So you touched on this a little bit already. You say 12 feet and don't draft somebody, don't stay in the slipstream. But generally, what would you advise runners? Wear a mask or no?
Now, I'm not a big fan of masks. You know, as you breathe faster, the mask, particularly cloth or fabric masks, quickly become saturated. And then they really don't do a good job at all. They also create a little microenvironment in front of your face. And I think this is what Sarah was talking about. You end up rebreathing a bit of your exhaled carbon dioxide, and that causes a little bit of a panic reaction. It makes you have to breathe a little bit harder because your body is trying hard to get rid of that carbon dioxide. So I don't think it's a great idea to exercise, particularly endurance exercise, while you're wearing a mask. And I think given good double your distance, social distancing and careful attention to where you are and not being too close to people, I think the outdoors is a great place to do it because the wind blows the virus away, and it's, I think, safer than trying to exercise in an enclosed space.
Okay. Doug from Tiffin, Ohio writes that he's 70 years old, has above average health, and routinely bikes 15 to 20 miles at a time. He asks, how cautious do I need to be?
Well, Doug, you know, I think that we have to recognize that people who are older than 65 in particular, or those with chronic diseases, are a little bit more susceptible to getting the virus and, more importantly, are more susceptible to getting serious consequences of it. That being said, I think for a cyclist, you really need to pay especially careful attention. And a good rule of thumb is that if you can smell the person, you're probably too close.
And, okay. And
so people, you know, if you ride by them or they're coming towards you, you often can smell their perfume or their soap for a number of meters after you pass them. And that's telling you that you're a little bit too close.
So
go around with plenty of distance. Stay far away. Don't draft.
Okay, we have, I think, time for one more question, and this one is about a lot of people this time of year head to the beach or the pool. Here's a question about being in the water.
Hi, this is Catherine. I live in Sutton, New Hampshire, and my question relates to swimming in lakes, pools, and the ocean. Does chlorine in a pool or saltwater pool help keep the coronavirus out? And how will coronavirus impact our freshwater lakes in New Hampshire?
Dr. Levine, what would you tell the people who are eager to get out and swim?
Sure. I would say that freshwater lakes, saltwater, the ocean is great. It's a big open space, and you don't have to worry about the virus living in the water or contaminating it as you swim by. In fact, even chlorine is pretty darn good at killing the virus. The problem with pools isn't the water. It's everything around it. It's the benches beside the diving board, the edges of the pool, and it's not being able to stay far away from the people as you pass them in the other lane. But if your lanes were 12 feet apart and you were able to be very careful, wash your hands, sterilize them, don't touch your face when you get out, okay. Make sure that you are watch. Be careful about the locker room, you know, bring your own stuff with you. Those are sort of the basic hygiene things that are important.
Dr. Ben Levine, professor of internal medicine at UT Southwestern and Texas Health Presbyterian Dallas, thank you for answering these questions for us tonight.
Sure, my pleasure, Ari.
And to all of you listening, congratulations. We have made it to May, another month down. If you're finding it hard to put into words how you are feeling through all of this, I have a suggestion. Well, actually, the suggestion comes from my friend, Rich Preston. He is a BBC journalist in London who grew up around Aberdeen, Scotland.
There's an expression in Scots Doric. Doric is the dialect in the part of Scotland where I grew up, which I feel more people should know about and be using, as I'm pretty sure it's how many people feel at the moment. The expression is chavinawa. It means getting on, doing okay, working away, I'm getting by. As in, how you doing? Aye, I'm chavinawa.
Well, whether you are thriving, barely keeping your head above water, or just chavinawa, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. Our show was edited by Barry Hardiman, Monica Evstatieva, Dahlia Mortada, Dave Blanchard, and Eric Maripodi. It was produced by Lauren McGonkey, Caroline Kelly, Nia Venkat, Saraya Mohammed, Lena Simstrom, and Will Jarvis. Jeff Pierre is our show's director. Our technical directors are James Willits and Natasha Branch. Wynn Davis is our engagement editor. Thanks to Carlene Watson, Cara Tallow, Natalie Friedman-Winston, Steve Drummond, Kenya Young, and Sarah Gilbert. And a special thanks to my co-host this week, Michelle Martin. I'm Ari Shapiro. We'll be back Monday to answer more of your questions. Send them to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or tweet us with the hashtag NPRConversation. And this is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.